Evet. İmam işte anlatıyor. Bravo. A question for kids' church only. What is faith? Anybody or any kids could. You can read it from the Bible if you wish. But can any of you youngsters tell me roughly what faith is? Yes. The dictionary tells us that faith is complete trust. Well done. And confidence in someone or something. And faith doesn't just come overnight. It's built up. It's nurtured. It's fed and watered. It's exercised. And I'll give you an example. Simai says, George, on Monday, I'm going to cook you dinner. And I'm going to deliver it at 5 o'clock.
So it's just a true story.
No, this is an example for you young children. But it is true. Yeah, it's a true story. So Simai says, right, George, I'm going to cook you dinner and I'm going to bring it round on Monday at 5 o'clock. Now I can say, okay, thank you. And I wouldn't really be bothered if she failed to turn up. But Monday would come, 5 o'clock on the nail, my dinner's delivered. Now that helps me to trust that she will do what she says she will do. But then what happens if Simone came and said, George, I'm going to cook your tea on a Monday and deliver it at 5 o'clock every week for a year.
Is this like a dream you've had?
I don't need that because I have a wonderful cook in my wife. But, that would be a little bit harder to believe. And I wouldn't be surprised if once or twice she failed to do it. But after a month, if it came on time, every Monday, my faith in Samoa would grow. After 6 months, I think I could honestly say that I had complete trust and confidence that she would do what she says she will do. Now we confess to being followers of Jesus. And that, once we accept that Jesus is our Lord and our Saviour, then the faith in him begins. We have believed what our parents, our friends, a sermon, the Holy Spirit's prompting has told us is true. So we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. And with that acceptance is the beginning of our faith. But as I said, that faith doesn't miraculously appear the day we give our life to Christ. But the seed is planted, the seed is sown. And we, as our part, must water that faith, must feed it, must water it, must exercise it. And over the years, that faith will grow. Now there's two things, children and adults, that I can guarantee will happen. If you are born of a woman, which I presume you all have been, then I can guarantee that one day you will die. You will die. Physical death. Spiritually, because you believe in Christ, you will live for eternity. But physical death will happen to each and every one of us. No matter how rich, how poor, how much you Google, you will die. And the second thing is, you will have trouble. Now, most of us older ones, not that I'm saying I'm old, but I will honestly say, yes, you will. And you know what? Jesus says so as well. Jesus says, in this world, you will, he doesn't say you might, he says you will have troubles. But guess what? Jesus has overcome the world. But troubles you will have. My question is this, what happens to that faith when the troubles come? And they will come. You youngsters, you kids, you haven't had troubles. You don't know what trouble is. You might think getting smacked off your mum is you've been in trouble. But there are troubles ahead, and you will need your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord to help you through. So let's just say Johnny has now come into leaving school. And Johnny's leaving school. And Johnny obviously is thinking, I wonder what I'm going to do as a job. What can Johnny do? Johnny can pray. Johnny can pray. And Johnny prays to the Lord. Lord, I've read that you have a plan for my life. A plan that will give me a hope and a future. I pray for your guidance. And that you will lead me down the road that you have for me to be on. And Johnny there is exercising his faith. He's trusting that God will tell him the direction he needs to go in. And when Johnny decides, maybe in his own strength, because my mate's going to so-and-so college down the road, I'm going to go there. But then, that college door is shut to him. But another door opens. And he enters that college. And after a year or so, he realizes, wow, I like it here. This is where I feel I ought to be. You see, the power of God is there for us to tap into. And if we are obedient to him, and if we listen to him, he will guide our steps. But then, later on, Johnny's now grown a few more years. Johnny's got his trade. Johnny's now married. And Johnny has 2.4 children. And now, Johnny's job is threatened. The firm Johnny works for is now getting rid of people. Now Johnny thinks, well, I prayed to the Lord for this, for these small things. Now, maybe it's time to pray to God again for this bigger thing that is happening in my life. Maybe God will save my job. Now, just because Johnny believes in God, Johnny is a Christian, does not mean that Johnny is immune to the things of the world and the attacks of the devil. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean that we're invisible to the enemy. We're every bit as visible as the person next to us who may not believe. So you may say, well, what's the difference? The difference is that we have a God on our side, a God who can perform miracles, a God who can provide us with the strength to get through the issues that we have to get through. That is the difference. So Johnny is praying, Lord, please save my job. Please, I've got a mortgage to pay. I've got a family to look after. But alas, Johnny loses his job. What happens to Johnny's faith then? Johnny may be crushed. Well, that's a crock, isn't it? I thought God's supposed to help me out at times like this. But the next day, Johnny gets a phone call. Johnny, it's your ex-boss. I've had a chat with a friend of mine, and it so happens he's looking for someone just like you with your credentials. Here's his number, give him a ring. And Johnny rings the guy. When can you start? Can you start Monday? Sometimes the Lord closes one door, but he will open another. And this can be all part of God's plan to move you to where you should be. Just because we're Christians, we don't always get what we pray for. But ultimately, he is in charge. And he has a plan for each and every life. And we can question God's plan, but he doesn't have to give us the answers. He is sovereign. We are not. But what happens when Johnny gets a situation that is truly personal? One of Johnny's children is now got an illness that isn't fair in Johnny's eyes. And Johnny's reaction to the news is, why? Why, God? Why have you allowed this to happen? You're supposed to be merciful. You're supposed to be loving. Why have you allowed this to happen? What has he done? What has she done? Does making us Christians give us an exempt certificate to ailments, to illnesses, to diseases? No, we still live in the world. We are still prone to sickness. We don't have a golden ticket that gets us out of hospital. And this is where our faith comes in. God has got Johnny out of that problem. God has got Johnny out of that problem. Why will God not get Johnny out of this problem? We're supposed to believe in the past positives that have come out of our storms to allow our faith in God to grow in the difficult ones that have got to come. Why do we struggle when things become personal? It's so easy to stand here and say, trust in God. God is the answer. But secretly we may be saying, but please don't let that happen to me. I read something the other day that really spoke to me. And I'd never seen it before. And I just want to read this to you. And this is one of those little magazines that Rosa gives out every 3 months. You notice? I've given in. And it says this. The scripture is Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, and yet do not do what I tell you to do? Jesus told the story of two men who built a house. The wise one built his house on solid rock. The foolish one built his house on sand. When a storm hit both houses, only the wise man's house was left standing. Now, Jesus wasn't comparing wisdom with foolishness, because we all act at times and foolish. Oh, sorry. Because we are all apt to be wise at times and foolish at others. And he didn't say the house that survived was a believer's house, and that the house that was built on sand was an unbeliever's. And yet that's what we generally think. When Jesus is talking about that parable, we refer to the non-believers as the foolish that's built their house on sand. But that isn't what Jesus was saying. He was comparing the two foundations, the rock and the sand. What is your life built on? When things get bad, when your back is against the wall, when your survival is on the line, when you've used up your last ounce of strength, what is it that gets you through? Certainly not your wisdom, and certainly not your church affiliation. Faithful believers sometimes flounder in the midst of life's storms. And that really spoke to me the other day. I can stand up here and I can spout the words, yes, I believe in God. Yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I believe that He is there in the times of trouble. And guess what? He is. He is. Look what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I love it. And this is so true. Verse 12. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. Are you going through a situation? Are you going through a trial or a storm? But you're trying to go through it alone. You're relying on your strength. guess what? You will be attacked and you will be defeated. If you're going through it alone. It goes on to say, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Whether you're married, whether you're single, doesn't matter. We try to do things in our own strength, and we are attacked and we will be defeated. But when we bring Jesus into the situation, then we become two. And no matter what the enemy is throwing at you this way, you can see and you can fight it off. But you can't see what's happening behind. But Jesus can. And he's got your back. And then it goes on. Three, and even better. You, your partner, and Jesus. A three-strand cord is very difficult to break. Now, it doesn't have to be man and wife and God. It can be me and Pete and God. It can be me and John and God. You don't have to be alone. Jesus has got your back. Jesus is the one that will bring you through. Nothing is impossible for him. It's impossible for us, but it isn't for him. And I urge you, if you are going through a storm, a trial, whatever, don't do it alone. You don't have to. All we need to do is what Jesus tells us to do. Go to the scriptures. Get on your prayer mat. Put on worship tapes. And I assure you, whilst you're at the lowest point, that's the last thing you want to do. But it's what Jesus tells us to do. Think of his promises. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always, even to the end of time. My Father knows what you need, and he will provide it for you. And in closing, I want you to take this picture away with you. If you want, close your eyes and just imagine the scene. You've trained all year to run a marathon. The day of the marathon comes. And you've pounded those streets. You've pounded and pounded. And you're 200 metres away from the finish line. And you've given it everything you have. But you can give no more. You're there on your knees. You're devastated. I failed. But then, you feel arms lifting you up. And you feel these arms go around your back and under your other arm. And you feel yourself being dragged towards that finishing line. And you see yourself cross that finishing line. And then you hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's Jesus. That's the one I serve. That's the one I love. He's the answer. So if you're going through a storm or any situation that you feel there is no way out of, picture that. He will always get you over the finishing line. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. And we don't just say that flippantly. We thank you for Jesus. He is our source. He is our strength. He is everything we need. He is healer. He is the one in charge. He is sovereign. And he is the difference that the world doesn't have. He is the difference that the world doesn't see. But we see that. And Father God, you have provided everything that we need through Jesus on the cross. And Jesus, you've left us with the Holy Spirit. We have contact with our Heavenly Father through the Spirit. And your word tells us that you will never, ever leave us. You are there in the storm with us. And you will see us through. And we thank you for that now. Father God, Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessed Holy Spirit.